Well, good morning. Happy Resurrection Day to you. I better watch her. I'm going to fall off into the drums. That's not a good, that would not be good. It'd be fun. You would, some people would enjoy that. They're like, that would be really, really funny. Yeah, except drums are expensive. Pastor breaks his arm. Who cares? But the drums, by all means, let's protect the drums. Chopped liver, I tell you. Well, we're glad you're here this morning, and I want to welcome those of you who are not typically with us or are guests with us today. And we get not typically every week, so you're looking around and it's like, oh, I'm the only one. No, a number of people every week have never been here before, so you are in good company. But I do want to let you know that we know it's kind of weird to go somewhere new. We get that. And we have done everything we can to de-weird everything except for me. And we have tried to make everything comfortable for you and understandable for you and all that. But in the process, some of you might be like, wow, this is not what I remember church to be. Well, that's on purpose, but you might be expecting certain things or candles or smells or something like that. But what we want to do here is to make this completely about Jesus. Yeah, we're kind of 21st century, but we also really just want to let you understand who Jesus is in a way that's super understandable. So we're glad you're here. We're glad you took the dare and came. Some people may have invited you. Some of you are on drugs. You were drug here kind of thing. We appreciate that, and we're glad you're here today. And sometimes people are like, well, the Easter Christmas people, blah, blah, blah. We're glad you're here. So if you ever have friends that are like, well, they give me a hard time for only being there on Easter Christmas, come. And but I will tell you this, if you come back next week, and you come back the next week, we will help you grow, and I believe you'll become a better person for it. So we promise. What happens this week, today, we didn't do anything special. This is exactly what it is like. Now, the songs are different, and things, but it is pretty much what it's like. We didn't pull out all the stops for you or anything. This is what it's normally like. So you can come back, and you'll be familiar with it. You know, most people, speaking of familiar, are familiar with the Easter story. By the way, if you don't know, I'm Tim Bowe, and they let me be pastor around here, which is kind of awesome thing to do. About 10 years ago, this church was started, and my family and Lynn and her husband helped us start it, and here we are. But many people are familiar with the Easter story. You know, Jesus was born, Christmas. Jesus died, Good Friday, although we kind of skip over that. And then Easter, because we talk about Jesus dying on Easter, because, you know, we don't have church on Friday. That would be weird. So anyway, so people are like, all right, I get the story. Jesus died, Jesus rose again. Great, that's awesome. In fact, we're going to go ahead and read it. It's going to be on the screen for you. It's also in your program. And sometimes people go, I can't read my program because it's so dark in here. Use your flashlight. You know, people, you can use your phone. We encourage you to do that. Go ahead and use your phone. Look it up on your phone app. And, if you're playing, whatever bubble game or whatever they're playing right now, we won't know, but we'll try to keep your attention and compete with it really well. Okay? But you can use your phone. We encourage it. All right? And if you hear something awesome during the message, send it out on Tweet or Facebook or say, this crazy guy said this today, and put it on there. We'd be glad to do it. Tag us. All right? Now we know everything. Matthew 28, after the Sabbath, that Saturday, at dawn on the first day of the week, that Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are not, I don't think that's Mary, Jesus' mom, but we'll see. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now, that's an interesting thing to me. So, the angel comes back, and he, rolls this stone. This thing is huge. Like, hundreds, if not thousands of pounds, and he just pushes it on the track all the way down, and then he sits on it, and it's kind of like, stone, big deal. I got it. You know, it's that he sat on it. Why are you sitting on it? But he was apparently very proud of his work, and so he sat on it, all right? His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men, kind of catatonic. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said he would. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." I love it. This angel has got an attitude. I love it. So, look, I told you. Now I've told you. Do your thing. So the women hurried. I love this. I don't know who he is, but I want to meet him one day. He is cool. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings, shalom," he said. "Hey." That's what he said. "Hey." They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid." Again, that's a repeated theme. Don't be afraid. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So that's exactly what they did. And this is one of the evidences that the resurrection was real, because at that time, women's testimony, sorry, we're not 21st century back then, but women's testimony was not considered valid in a court of law. So you would think that if you're going to make up a story and the women came and told you first and you can't even present it, you would go and you would say, "Oh, we need to change that up a little bit because this didn't work out too well. The women, nobody's going to believe it. It's not going to be credible," that kind of thing. But the Bible is cool about that. Even this kind of thing, or ugly stuff, or terrible things that happen, they go ahead and they just say, "This is what it was like. This is what happened." So the women go, and even though their testimony is not valid in a court of law, it's valid in God's. And he had the women come and see this thing. And it was just, why the women first? Because the guys were over there whining about how Jesus had died, and they were all depressed and stuff, and they weren't going to do it. But mamas do what mamas do, right? And so they're going to go check and see, how are they going to get the tomb open? How do they get the stone pushed to it? They talked about, how are we going to do that? They thought about it, but it didn't stop them from acting, because you know what? Moms, that's what they do. They move ahead, and they'll figure it out when they get there. And they always figure it out. How do they do that? Moms, you're awesome. We'll have Mother's Day here in about a month. But moms, you're awesome. So anyway, so here they are, and they're doing this. And the stone's pushed back. And what's cool about it is Jesus is already... It doesn't say the angel pushed the stone back, and then Jesus came out. Bum, ba-da, ba-da-da. Nothing like that. Jesus was already gone. Why are we rolling a stone back? They rolled the stone back for us. Jesus is already gone. He didn't need to, like, move the stone. I mean, he's going everywhere. He's out of his physical body. He's going wherever he wants. But they rolled the stone back so you could see that tomb was empty. Now, we know the story, but I lived a long, 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 long time. And we would celebrate Easter. I grew up in a pastor's home. And we would talk about Easter, and my dad would preach about Easter. And I'll be honest, until I was well into my maybe 40s, I know I don't look that old, but I am. And, you know, I look 28. I get it. I'm pretty. But, I'm drinking something. But I never really understood why. And so I'm going to try to share with you just a little bit of that today. You may have more questions in your cup holders there. There are a few cards. You can use it to invite other people here, yes. But on there is a website called truelife.org. I encourage you to go on there. Watch those videos. Explore it more. So if you're not ready to believe and receive today, I get that. This is a safe place for you to kind of walk through that until you can make that decision. But we want to help you do that. Look on that website. There's a bunch of stuff that tells you, start exploring this, because the worldview that I'm going to share with you this morning, even though you had maybe some Christian stuff along the way, is not the worldview of our world. It's the worldview that God gives in the Bible, and you have to decide whether or not you consider that valid or whether that's legitimate or what have you. But this is the one that God says he sent to us. And we say this around here, it's not in the Bible, it's not true because it's in the Bible, but it's in the Bible because it's true. And the Bible asserts, whether you believe it or not, the Bible asserts that Jesus is the Son of God, that God created, and that he sent us. He revealed, that's why it's called revelation, he revealed himself to us. It wasn't something man invented or came up with or acquired by his own knowledge or whatever. God intervened and said, this is what I'm all about. And here's the deal with the whole background of the why. Why the resurrection? I get the cross thing. I get that because, you know, we've sinned. Jesus covers our sin. He died for us. The resurrection thing. And people are always saying, it's the most important event in all of history. It's the most important event in all of Christianity. He is risen. And they just talk about Jesus being alive again. And I just want to keep saying, why? Why did he have to do that? Why did he have to live again? Why is that such a big whoopee-doo? And nobody would ever seem to tell me. And I hope I can tell you today. So back when God walked with us, he lived with us. When I say us, I mean humanity. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. These people, these real people, and by the way, they have figured out that you come from two people. Science, the Genome Project, believe it or not, has proven scientifically you and I come from one couple all the way down. Hey, bros and sisses. Cool. We are. And Adam and Eve walked with God. That's what this story is. Really, that's what the Bible is. It's God's story. When I say a worldview, this is God's story. So he walked with them. He lived with them. He was ever present, really, with them. And you know this story, too. They took the fruit. A lot of times we say it was an apple. I think that's a convenient fruit, you know, to just kind of throw under the bus there. But we don't know if it was an apple or anything. Probably, you know, some kind of kiwi or maybe a banana. Some, I don't know. I don't know what this fruit was. But they ate from this fruit. And it had nothing to do with the fruit. It's not like the fruit had, you know, death qualities to it or anything. It was that this was a tree that they were told not to eat. This was something they were told not to disobey God on. And they did. They ate themselves out of house and home, and it was done, right? And everybody since has experienced what happened there, and that was death entered the world. And this is the big key to God's story here. Death entered the world. I'm like not insulting your intelligence today. This is like deep theology stuff. Can you handle it? Like, so I came one time to that church, and they went all feel. But I just want to share this with you. So death enters at that point. If it weren't for that, Mutual of Omaha would not have a wild kingdom. They would have the peaceful kingdom. All right, death entered the world. And here it is. Now Cain and Abel, these two sons of the first people, Cain is killing Abel. He's murdering him over a bad tithe issue. And they're having all kinds of stuff going on, and people are starting to do that. And we think, man, they really screwed it up. They brought death into the world. And every one of us since, though, has made the same choice. Have you ever done something you knew somehow innately, whether you grew up in church or not or wherever, but innately you knew this is a wrong thing to do. You knew it was the wrong thing to do. You felt in your heart it was the wrong thing to do. And so what did you do? You said, well, you know, I'm feeling like that's not a good thing to do, so I'm not going to do it. Now, maybe that happens sometimes, but a lot of other times you're like, I'm doing it anyway. And you did it anyway, right? That's called sin. That's what I have done. That's what you have done. And it brought death into the world originally, and it continues to bring death-like things, the consequences of these choices that are in contradiction to God's design for the world. Death. There it is. And not only did death begin at that point, but also we became dead to God. God doesn't walk with us like that anymore. God is not with, why? Because God can't do that in the presence. He can't live with sin. Now, God is everywhere and all that, but in terms of this personal kind of interaction, communion, intimacy, some people, that's a creepy word to say it like, but this knowing God personally, that's not something that we do. In fact, because it's such a thing and it's such a foreign idea to us, we start to invent religions to try and make us feel better, or we take the religions that exist and we try to adapt them to try and make it all better, or we try to cope, we try any kind of thing to make it work. But the thing is, we were designed by God, and therefore we were designed for God, and until we figure out this separation that we have caused, nothing is going to make sense in our lives and in our hearts. That's why all the things that I keep trying to do don't seem to work. That's why I'm frustrated. It's because I have a disconnect with why I was created to be. I have a disconnect with the Creator. And we have all done that. That's called death. And we're dead to God. He doesn't live in us. Here's the problem God had. The problem God had was that He created us. And He loves us. And we are intended, we were created immortally. This is all in the Bible. Some of them, oh, they just got weird. I hope they don't start passing out Kool-Aid here soon. But you were designed to live forever. You don't have like some spaceship that's going to come over and we're all in bunk beds in a weird place. No, it's not like that. It's really in the Bible. It's just straight up. You just probably haven't heard it before. Death happened. We're dead to God. And God's like, they're intended to exist forever. You're intended to exist forever. In fact, you are going to exist forever somewhere. But because we're separated from God, because we're now sinful, because we're now dead to Him, God can't live with us in that personal kind of way. So He says, I've got a problem. They have disobeyed me. They've sinned against me. They have committed crimes against my holiness and who I am. Now, God just can't say, oh, well, it's okay. No problem. Because God is who He is. He's holy, He's just, He's true, He's pure, He's perfect, and He makes the rules. And so here He is, and He's like, okay, I have made the rule, I am, it's not even like a rule, but it's like, I am holy, I can't live with the unholy, but I love these people, I love these ones that I created to be with me. I love these ones that I created to personally know. So I have a problem. They're separated from me. I made them and designed them to exist forever, and they're going to die, and when they die, they're going to exist forever without me, because that's what they've chosen to do. I have a problem. Now, I need to redeem them. I need to bring them back to me. I need to reconcile them to me. How am I going to do that? Well, I've got to sacrifice something. I got to sacrifice something so perfect, so innocent, so just and pure itself that it covers those sins and those crimes. So he knew what he would have to do. Now, if it were you and I, and we ain't God, obviously, but if we were God, we're like, well, maybe we can get somebody to do that. Maybe one of these angels or whatever. But the problem was, it had to be a man, a human. And the problem was, all the humans were dead to him. So what did he have to do? He had to send his own son, his own DNA, his own self. God had to send God to go and be a man, his own son in this case, and it's the only case, and it's the only remedy, and it's the only way. He sent his son to be that sacrifice. It satisfies his holiness. It satisfies his justice. It satisfies who he is, not just the rules, but who he is by character. God had to send himself as a man, as a sacrifice, and he had to die innocent, completely innocent, and guilty of no wrongs. He had to be that sacrifice. That's what Good Friday is all about, guys. It's about Jesus pouring out his blood for you to cover you. That's what all this weird Old Testament stuff is all about, where they sacrifice lambs, and it's kind of a gory kind of thing. And that's for God to give us an idea and a symbol that this is serious stuff. So serious that something innocent has to die. And down the road here, I'm going to send my own son, and he's going to be the sacrifice once and for all of sin. That was what happened on Good Friday. And without that, our sins aren't forgiven. Without that, our sins aren't covered. But here's the other thing. Why the resurrection? Jesus died on that Friday. And here we are, and Jesus is dead. So he's paid the price for sin. In fact, one of the last things he said, it is finished, it's done. I did it. I completed this work. But the problem is this. If he stays dead, just like the disciples were all like, oh, he's dead, this is over. If he stays dead, we're still dead to God. We're still dead to this personal interaction with him. The penalty's been paid, but how do we get completely ushered into the kingdom? How does God open the door for us to know? Because dead can't be with alive. So he has to make us alive to him again. Because of this penalty, we have that offered to us. But Jesus, we had brought death into the world. We had brought sin, death into the world. He paid the price, and as a man, while we brought sin and death into the world, he had to defeat it. So that when we die, we can be risen again in time. We can be alive to him. And we can exist with him. And we can walk into his presence. This resurrection is the difference between dead and alive. We don't come to Jesus because we need a coping mechanism. We don't come to Jesus because we need a little help in our lives. We don't come to Jesus because we're kind of immoral and we kind of need a little bit of a spiritual psycho help, you know, self-helpy thing. We come to Jesus because we're dead without him. We don't have life. We're dead to God without him. Jesus is not trying to make you a better person. He's trying to make you completely alive. And in order to receive him, you kind of have to do this. Not kind of, totally. You kind of got to die. You got to die to you and put yourself into his life. See, when he rose again from the dead, he was dead, and he was totally dead. I mean, doorbell dead. Got dead. I don't know what doorbell dead is, but you're very dead. Doornail dead. I mean, dead. I don't know what doorbell did. It's funny. Dead as a doornail. Isn't that what we say? Doornail dead, not doorbell dead. Ding, ding. Doornail dead. He was dead, totally dead. Nobody can survive this. Some people are like, oh, he swooned. And no. And even if he had been alive, his hands and feet, he wouldn't have been able to, he would have been maimed, all right? But he did. He completely died. And when he died, the penalty, death, all of that was there. But when he rose again from the dead, when he resurrected, he conquered that death. He defeated that death. Death was dead because Jesus had risen from the dead. He was over it. He was above it. He was more powerful than it. And so what that means, it says he is like a first fruits, which is kind of a weird little concept, but it means the first thing that you give, first thing that you produce, you give. It's where we get the tithe and that kind of thing. But God tithed because God said, he's the first. He's my son. He's my one and only son. And he is the first of men. He is the first of humans to go in to deserve. He completed perfection on earth. And he paid the price for our sins as a perfect sacrifice. He did that. Because of that, he had power over sin because God resurrected him from the Father, resurrected him from the dead. He had power over death. That's important for you and me because without that resurrection, we're still dead to God. He paid the penalty, but we're still dead. There's no power over it. But because Jesus did, he walks through kind of the door. And then it kind of figuratively, he walks through the door as a man, one who deserves to be with the Father because he accomplished everything. And because of that, he pulls that door open and he invites us in. That's what resurrection is all about. It's kind of super deep theology, guys, but that's what it is. Without Jesus doing this, we exist forever, but we exist forever without him. We exist forever dead to him. And he sends the Spirit, his Spirit, to live in us. So literally, even before you go to heaven, God lives with you. He walks with you. He shares life with you. He's personal with you. He is in you. Just like he was in the Garden of Eden, although he's kind of around them. Now he's in us. And our bodies are literally like his temple. This is where he lives. This is where he exists. And while we're still physically moving toward death, because, guys, I'm telling you, it is not getting easier. The older I get, things creaking and all kinds of stuff and hairs that I used to wish that I would grow facial hair and be cool and stuff. Now they're growing all kinds of places that aren't very pretty. And you know how I am about how pretty I am. It's an awkward thing. I got to do a lot of grooming these days. It's awkward. We're moving toward that. Nobody is moving toward life like your birth. We're all moving toward that. See, we're not in the land of the living going to the place of the dead. We're in the land of the dead. And it's up to us whether we're going to the place of the living or not. Here's what Jesus said. That's why the resurrection, guys. He's got to usher us in. And because he did, we all have that. Now, maybe you believe all of that today. Maybe you don't. I encourage you to keep walking through it. But if you do believe he's the Son of God, and you do accept this worldview, God story worldview, yeah, that makes sense. I believe that. There's this Bible passage. It's on our host, Lynn, in my shirt today, for obvious reasons, because we wanted to emphasize it to you. It's in John, the first chapter. I've got it semi-memorized, but I want to make sure I get it right. It's John 1:12. It's on here. And it says this. Well, let me get there. Take my glass off so I can see. John 1:12. I know, it's backwards. I'm super nearsighted. Yet to all who did receive him. To all who did receive him, to those who believed on his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Now, the original one says sons, and so everybody's changed it up to be gender neutral and things like that. I want to submit to you that it is sons. Even if you're a girl, I want to submit to you that it is sons. Because it was that way. It wasn't that women weren't offered this, because they are. You are. But you have the right to become a son of God. In that culture, a daughter was, she was valuable, but so was your best head of cow. I mean, she was above that, but legally speaking, she didn't have a whole lot of rights. She wasn't an heir. She was something or someone that you would give a dowry for, and you would do guarantees. You understand what I'm saying here, guys? Jesus is saying, they've actually reduced it. By trying to make it cool and gender neutral, they've actually reduced what it really means. Son of God. I mean, if you're a girl, son of God. If you're a guy, son of God. He gave them the right to become sons with heir, with responsibilities, with the benefits of it, with all of the blessings. See, the guys don't get a better blessing than you do, gals. You see why I'm making a big stink of this? All right. You have all the same as other. I'm not pushing women down. I'm telling you, you're up on the same level. This is what God is saying. You have the right to become my child. You have the right to become all that I have. You have the right to receive all that I want to give you. And that is home in heaven. A life that lasts forever. And if you believe this, listen, the ultimate thing, you've probably not heard this in church either. Jesus, we've got death into the world, Jesus paying the price for the sins, ushers this in through the resurrection, and the Bible says he's coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to take all those who have placed their faith in him, and they're going to live with him forever. And those who haven't, they're going to exist as they did before. You get that? They're going to be exactly what they could. They're going to continue to be what they were, dead to God forever. And then there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and we're going to live on earth with God. He redeems all of it. He redeems you, but he redeems all of his creation, this new earth. Now people are like, now that is weird. I've never heard that. It's in Revelation. It's right in your Bible. Not making funny, weird stuff up, guys. God's goal, this entire thing, is not just to save you and let you go to heaven. We talk about going to heaven a lot, and that makes sense because it's kind of the next thing. But ultimately, there's a new heaven. There's a new earth. There's a new place where we live together forever, like Adam and Eve did with a new one. But with people who have already decided, I'm going to follow him. And he makes us perfect. And he gives us all that we need to follow him in that day. That's the world. That's God's story. And if you believe all that, or believe parts of it, or you believe the part that's important, that Jesus died for your sins, that he rose again from the dead, and it says he ascended to the right hand of the Father. Why? To rule. Does he have complete rule yet? No. Because he's letting us mess it up. He's letting us screw up until the day that he returns. Why is he doing that? Why is there still a mess? Why isn't God doing something about it? He is doing something about it. But ultimately, why does he wipe out evil? Because guys, if he wiped out all of evil, he'd have to wipe out you and me. And he is trying to be gracious and loving and patient and bring more people into his family and with him before it's all said and done. He gave you life as a gift, and we chose death, and then he comes again and he dies so that you can have life. And if you believe, that's a great thing. But what it says here, to those who received him, You don't just know it in your head. It's personal. You have to receive. Take it in. You don't earn it. You don't take steps. You don't take ceremonies to do it. You don't take super Jesus wine. You don't have holy water baptism things. Guys, your heart, your soul, you receive. You believe, but it's got to go down. You've got to receive. And if you do that, you become a child, a son, a child of God, and nothing can take that from you. That's the message of Christ. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer it to you right now. So I'm going to ask us just bow our heads. Guys, there's no fancy thing about this. There's no super prayer. There's no even specific prayer. There's no magic prayer. There's no nothing like that. It's you, your heart, and God, and you can receive Him. If you believe Him, you have faith, you can receive Him right now. I want to invite you to do it if you've never done this before. And you can be forgiven of those sins. Let that burden go. Let Jesus take all of your sins on. Let Him have it. Drop your guard and just give it to Him. Let Him go and turn to Him. Turn away from yourself and turn to Jesus and let Him give you forgiveness of sins and eternal life, not death. It's a simple prayer. Again, there's no magic words, but something like this from your heart. I invite you to pray it right now. Just in your mind, your heart. If you say it out loud, that's fine too. Nobody's going to bug you about that. Say, God, I need You. Jesus, I do believe. I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died for my sins. I believe You rose again from the dead. And I believe You ascended to the Father. And I believe You're coming again. I believe those things. I believe what You say in the Scriptures, in the Bible. So I'm going to ask You, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. Take them from me. And I'm going to ask You right now, I want to receive Your gift of salvation, covering my sins, of giving me life. So send Your Holy Spirit to live inside of me so that I can follow You and I can become more like You all the way to the day that I do physically die and then I'm present with You forever. Because of Your promise, I believe it, I receive it, and I've now become Your son, Your daughter, Your child. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you did that, here's what I'll ask you to do. We're not having a big altar call or whatever. I know you're worried about that. I'm going to have to come down and do funky stuff, and you're not. Just check that on your Connect card and just let us know. And then back here on the table, there's a whole bunch of stuff, but there's a book called Begin, and we want to encourage you to take that and walk through that. We have a few left, and if you don't get one, let me know. We've got some coming in and things, but everything on that table is free. Don't put your kids on the table because everything on the table is free. You could lose your kid. No, I'm just kidding. Just do that. All right, what we're going to do, and we just want to walk with you and be a family with you, okay? And we do invite you to be back with us next week. We're going to continue this is love things for a couple more weeks. On the right side there, if you'll pass down the popcorn buckets, we're going to take up our offering this morning. While we do that, if you will, just watch this video, and then we'll be let you go for the day.
When we hear about Jesus dying on the cross, we often hear about the physical suffering, pain, the torture, the excruciating execution. We find ourselves wondering, maybe you've wondered, was all of this really necessary? Couldn't God have taken our sin away in some other way? Couldn't He have saved us without it all being so extreme? Being crucified on a Roman cross was the most humiliating way to die. It was a way for Rome to shame their rebels and criminals, and for a Jew, it was like being cursed by God. You see, Jesus went to the cross in order to go to the lowest place. He was humiliated and shamed so that no one, not even the worst sinner, would be out of the reach of God's love. Jesus went to the cross suffering alongside every victim in human history who has had their dignity robbed and their innocence destroyed. Jesus experienced the darkness of alienation so that even in your darkest night, even in death, you can know that you are not alone. God is with you, and God loves you with a love that is stronger than death. You see, the cross is not where the story ends. God raised Jesus from the dead. And because of the resurrection, we now know what the cross was all about. It's because of Easter that we understand the meaning of Good Friday. At the cross, Jesus died in our place for our sins. At the cross, Jesus entered into our pain and our shame. At the cross, Jesus came and took the weight of evil itself so that its power could be broken. It's because of Easter, because Jesus didn't stay in the grave, that we now know what this was all about. This is God in His love freeing us from sin. This is God in His love overcoming death. This is God in His love announcing new creation will come. Yeah, it's the resurrection that changed everything. Now we see this is love.
Hey, have a great resurrection day. God bless you big time. Go give them heaven.